this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Monday. It is great to be with you once again. And forgive me ahead of time, I have an extremely sore throat. I didn't think I'd get to this program today, but here I am. I've been nursing a sick little girl over the weekend, and I've caught a tinge of it. Very sore throat today, not feeling too well, but we are going to get through this, so forgive me if my voice is a little weak or a little quiet today. I felt that this topic isn't too important to allow a little sickness to get in the way. And another thing I want to make mention of is, you know, I get emails and I get comments on the website from people. Some of them are asking what I consider genuine questions, and again, I have no problem with somebody disagreeing with me, but if you're going to send me messages that are just to prove me wrong, or they come across like you're just trying to do one of those gotchas, like, "Hi, I got you, I caught you in a falsehood," or something like that. If you're one of those kind of people whose whole life is devoted to just trying to prove people wrong without really their best interest in heart, I really don't waste my time with those kind of emails. And so I do get a lot of them. So if I haven't gotten back to your email or your comments, please don't take that personally. I will do the best I can to try to answer everyone's emails. And if I can't answer by email, I will try to answer some of your questions in future shows. All right, well, we're discussing this week the relationship, the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And to start that off, I want to read you from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Starting with verse 15, he is saying to them, "Now you, who are you saying that I am?" This is the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Who are you saying that I am?" "Now answering, Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Every time you see that word living God, it's contrasting with the idols. Idolatry is a huge thing. It was very huge in our Lord's day and in the Old Testament times, and it's still true today. But he's contrasting the true God of Scripture with the idols. So when the Lord Jesus asked Simon, "Who am I?" the answer is, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, to most people, that answer is not good enough. Notice Peter doesn't say, "Thou art the second member of the Trinity or the Godhead," or something like that. He doesn't use highfalutin language like you find today. His answer is simple: "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But again, that's not good enough for modern religion to say that Christ is the Son of the living God. Now notice verse 17. "Now answering, Jesus said to him, Happy are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood does not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in the heavens." So this was the Father's assessment. The Father was happy with Peter's answer, and so should we be. Who is the Christ? Who is he? He is the Son of the living God. When I was in the Christian churches, I used to get involved in some of these debates and they usually base their fellowship on what you believed about the Father and the Son. And for instance, I was part of one group that said if you didn't believe in the eternal sonship, you couldn't partake of their communion service. Well, I used to ask, what does that mean, eternal sonship? And then you also had to believe in the Trinity at the same time. I couldn't figure these things out. Then people always talk about the second person and the third person of the Godhead and all these expressions. And false expressions, I remember, was part of a church service once where it talked about believing that he was God, a very God, and man, a very man, the eternally begotten. It says he was eternally begotten, not born. What in the world does that mean? I couldn't figure out the language. And when I went to the elders of this particular church to explain their doctrinal statement, they fumbled around, had no clue what the term meant. But you had to believe it. And so what we have today is we have all this mystical language that we're supposed to believe, that's supposed to be the fundamental, rock solid, rock foundation of Christianity. And if you don't believe it, you're not fundamental. And yet, they couldn't explain their own theology. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8, 6, we read this. This is the Apostle Paul. No highfalutin languages here. He says this: "For us there is one God, the Father, out of whom all is, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all is, and we through him." This verse shows our relationship to God and to the Lord, but it also shows their relationship to each other. Briefly put, God is the source and object of all things, and Christ is the channel of all. Now, Christ said in John 8:42 that he himself came out of God. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8:36, all is out of God. However, God does all things through his Son. Creation and redemption are through the Son. Creation began in the Son, and God redeems all mankind through the Son. Now, in the Scriptures, Christ is called God, and he's to be honored as the Father is honored. And the reason that happens is because Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's the image. God himself is invisible. Christ is the image of the invisible God. So we cannot know the invisible God apart from his Son. And that's why he's given these titles in Scripture. The Lord Jesus himself said that his Father was greater, John 10:29, and he even said his life was a gift from his Father, see John 5:26. He even said he lived by the Father. You can see that in John chapter 6. The Lord Jesus even said, not my will, but my Father's will be done. He also said he didn't seek his own glory, but that of the Father. And in John 17:22, he said he was one with the Father, but he also said he wanted others to enjoy that oneness. See John 17:22. So in sum, Christ was out of the Father, yet he is the only way to the Father. We can only know God through the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is the source of all. His Son is the channel. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us to have a pattern of sound words. When you stick with the language of Scripture, you can't go wrong. The terms like triune deity undermines the truth we've been speaking of. When you're asked for explanations, like I pointed out earlier, for these terminologies, eternal sonship and triune deity, when you're asked to get explanations, you usually get mystic answers or meaningless and unscriptural phrases. But if there's one thing that's characteristic of God, is that he delights to reveal himself. However, the language of Christendom, unfortunately, has veiled God. It hasn't revealed him, but veiled him. The Scriptures are written to reveal God in his Christ, so let's stick with the language of Scripture. Now, this is just introductory to this program. We're going to be talking about more of this week in detail. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss how Christ is the image of the invisible God. So come back with us tomorrow and we'll discuss that. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as he's revealed through the correctly cut and correctly translated Scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be. Have a great day.